Soccer Talk podcast, the only podcast that focuses on watching soccer on TV, online, and apps. In episode 108, we discuss a broadcaster finally acquires the US rights to the Asian Cup, the Copa Libertadores returns to US airwaves with a new rights holder, more updates on the rights to the International Champions Cup for this summer, plus letters from you, the listeners, in our mailbag section. My name is Christopher Harris, a.k.a. The Gaffer, and I'm joined by my co-host, Kartik Krishnaiah, who is... Kartik, let me guess, you're in near Chennai, India?
Yes, I'm in Chennai, exactly. Chennai.
Ah, okay. Awesome, awesome. Well, last week we spoke to you, you were in UAE, in Dubai, and now in India. And then next week, we'll probably have a guest co-host next week, and then the week after that you'll be back in the USA on the podcast, at least. One thing,
I'll be in London next week, by the way, so
okay,
it should be a lot of fun. You know, the funny thing, Chris, is just real quickly for our listeners, people always ask me when I go to London, which match are you going to? Most of the time, it's much easier not to go to a match there, just because transport for London is such a tough thing. So chances are, even though there are Premier League matches, there's a midweek, they're midweek fixtures.
That's right.
The week I'm there, I'm probably not going to go to a match.
Oh, man, you could go to, I mean, West Ham's probably more accessible than most clubs these days. Wembley's not the greatest in terms of transport to it, but... or even, I don't know, Craven Cottage. I haven't looked at the schedule to see exactly which matches are on, but if you get a chance, Kartik, you should definitely take the opportunity.
I might.
All right, so speaking of opportunities, just give us a couple of minutes, Kartik, on the situation in India in terms of your experiences watching soccer on over-the-air, free-to-air television, and what are the differences between India and the U.S. that you've experienced?
Yeah, so unfortunately, there's nothing free to air. Everything is on cable or satellite. And in your premium, I mean, if you buy a premium package, you'll get everything, right? You'll get Serie A, you'll get La Liga, you'll get Liga, you'll get even the Eredivisie and the Portuguese League. But if you just get your basic cable package, you only get two leagues, and you'll get the championship also if you get the extended, you know, something premium. If you get your basic cable package, you only get the Bundesliga and the Premier League in addition to the local league. So that's what I'm stuck with. We're in the process, my family, of shuttering the place I'm at and sending everything back to the States. So didn't have the option of getting a fancy cable package while I was here. So just had to get the basic cable. And you only have access to those two leagues. That's the unfortunate part. The fortunate part is it's wall-to-wall coverage of those two leagues. You know, similar to what we get from NBC in the U.S. for the Premier League, and much better than what Fox offers for the Bundesliga in terms of, well, I mean, I suppose Fox does show everything, but it's just on at random times, all the bumper programs and a lot of things on FS2, so, and Fox Soccer Plus, but a better coverage of the Bundesliga and about similar coverage of the Premier League, even though they're using all of the Premier League production personnel and programs, which is different than it used to be in India, Chris. They used to take the feed that came out of Singapore, the Star Sports feed or the ESPN Star feed. Now they're just doing straight Premier League production. So I've missed Steve Bauer. I mean, you get to see him on Mondays on NBC, but I've missed him over the weekends. I've gotten my fill of him the last couple of weeks, and he's very good as always.
So the Bundesliga and the Premier League, definitely big in India in terms of television coverage. Did you get a chance to watch La Liga on Facebook?
I did, and that's the only way you can see La Liga now is via Facebook Live, which is actually more accessible in a way because, you know, if you're at any IP address in India, you're not geo-blocked. And it was the international feed. It was the world feed. I'm actually hoping with this new Facebook deal – or not Facebook deal, sorry, this new YouTube deal with the lower divisions in Spain that next time I come to India, I can watch that as well. But it was good quality streaming. The internet here is very fast. It's faster than the internet I have in the States. So I was able to watch that, but it's the international feed, and it just, it's I don't know. With it, and again, they're cord cutters in India, just like they're cord cutters in the States. But it's just weird when you have two leagues that are constantly on television, and then you have La Liga, which is a comparable league, maybe even a better league in terms of actual quality of play, that's stuck on Facebook. It just has this, it's this weird feeling, if you know what I mean. It just seems like a very minor, it makes La Liga seem very minor league compared to the Bundesliga and Premier League, at least in the way it's covered in this country.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Karthik, for that insight there. It's definitely interesting to hear. I'm always curious about the experiences overseas, how it is different than the US. And in many ways, we're very fortunate in the US in terms of the types of coverage that we get, the variety and the amount of coverage that we get. We can practically get any league from around the world. You name it. So one thing I want to mention too, Karthik, is from this past weekend, I didn't get a chance to watch many games because two of my daughters, I got three daughters, two of them were, they're on travel teams playing soccer, and there was a tournament this past weekend in Wellington, a three-day tournament, and I actually figured out how many hours I spent at the fields, at the games, either watching the games or getting ready for the practices and going from place to place. And it actually ended up being 24 actual hours of this past weekend. And actually, I calculated the number of steps I made and ended up being 14 miles. And this is this is all within this one same park, just going from field to field. Go into the car to get some sunscreen or some water or whatever it may be.
Do you pace while your daughters play? Do you pace or do you
sit? I pace, yeah.
Okay.
So that's the other thing too. I don't like sitting, especially when I'm watching a game. And even when there's a break in between my daughter's games, I would go and watch other games. And I just thought about it too. And I thought to myself, like, after that long weekend, I mean, I love it. I mean, to me, it doesn't get boring at all, but I'm thinking to some of the parents who must be there who only like soccer because their daughter plays or the son plays. It must be just boring as hell for some of them. But for me, I actually enjoyed it and got a lot of exercise and some fresh air and got to watch a lot of soccer. But what I didn't get to watch is all these Premier League matches. And Karthik, did you get a chance to watch the two big ones on Saturday, whether it was the Liverpool-Crystal Palace match or the Wolves match with all those goals going in?
Yeah, I got to watch both matches, and Claude Puel is very much on the brink now with Leicester. I think the significant thing is, people will look at Liverpool conceding three goals, but I think the significant thing is that they found a way to win this sort of match. This is the kind of match they've been losing in the past, or dropping points, right, and giving up late equalizers and those sorts of things. And without Wijnaldum, their midfield doesn't quite work as well as it does with him. We know that. So I wouldn't read too much into it. I know the media, both the media I see on the Premier League productions and in India, and as well as I'm sure NBC in the back home, badly want a title race and badly want to play this up. Yes, there is a title race, but I still think Liverpool is firmly in control. That's my opinion. I'm not sure how NBC is looking at it, but I know that the crew with Steve Bauer and company here that we get in India really felt like, okay, this is a sign Manchester City has an opening. There's an opening, but I'm not sure I would read too much into it.
One thing about Wolverhampton Wanderers, Karthik, is that I've lost count this season how many times I've had conversations just with neutrals. So either neutrals because they don't support Wolverhampton Wanderers, or they support a different club from a different league, whatever it may be, but not Wolverhampton Wanderers supporters. Of how many times I've had a conversation with just either friends or strangers about how good of a team this Wolverhampton Wanderers team is, and how much there is to really look at and respect from this team, whether it's the playing style, whether it's the organization, team shape, the way that they play. I think that the kit colours always are in their favour. Kind of the gold colour is a little bit different, so it stands out a little bit more. That's kind of a differentiator. But just so many people I've run into this season, and it just comes up by just at random where they'll mention that, Wolves, I'm really that's my second club this season because I really admire the way that they play.
Let me take it a step further, Chris. There are people who tell me they're playing with Wolves on FIFA because, one, they like the kit color. It's very unique, and part of the thrill of playing a game is to see like high definition graphics and how that stands out. And then Wolves have just been an exciting team playing open, energetic football, and it's odd. I mean, I think they play very differently against top six sides, where they're lethal on the counter. We've seen that repeatedly against better sides. But then when they play the rest of the league, they tend to be able to control possession and play a better passing, you know, structured tactical match. So it's very interesting. They're also a team with more than a plan A and a plan B. So many of these smaller teams, if you want to call them that, get criticized for not having a plan B. Well, Nuno Espirito Santo has a plan A and a plan B, and sometimes a plan C. So Wolves have become a favorite. I completely agree with you. They're a big thing now.
So my match of the week, Kartik, I didn't get to watch as many matches as I would like. I probably saw about half a dozen or so. But my match of the week was from last week, actually, I think last Thursday, which was Real Sociedad against Real Betis in the Copa del Rey. It was the second leg of a match. Probably most people missed this one, but just a crazy game. It ended up being that Real Betis advanced on away goals. The match ended 2-2, but just back and forth. I think Real Sociedad were in the lead, and then Betis came back with an equaliser, and then Real Sociedad went ahead again, and the Real Betis scored a later equaliser to then advance on away goals. But just a really good level of football, and just an entertaining match, and passionate crowd too, and Real Betis move on to Copa del Rey quarterfinals, I believe they're in this week. And the second leg next week. I definitely enjoyed that one. My pick of the week, Kartik, in terms of predicted pick of the week, or the game I'm looking forward to the most this weekend, is Accrington Stanley against Derby County in the FA Cup. This one's on Saturday morning at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Time. And this one is interesting for me, Kartik, on a couple of different levels. One is, of course, it's a lower league team against a higher league team. But the second of all, too, Accrington Stanley, as you know, have gone through a tough history. One of our colleagues, a former colleague of World Soccer Talk, somebody that both you and I know, Kartik, Simon Evans, who writes for Reuters and used to live in Miami, someone we got to know very well, has been on this podcast a couple of times, too, I think. And he's from that area, so I think I'm sure he'll be at that game. But really a great story and a chance here for kind of a David versus Goliath match. Derby's looking good, though, too, so Derby probably will win this one. But you never know. But at the end of the day, really quaint, small grounds in Lancashire. I'm looking forward to this one on Saturday morning. So how about you, Kartik? What was your match of the week, and what's your pick for this weekend?
Match of the week was Spurs and Fulham, or Fulham and Spurs at the Cottage. Spurs, no Son, he's gone to the Asian Cup, and South Korea is now in the quarterfinals. Harry Kane is out for however long, 4 to 6 weeks, lethal blow to their title chances. Dele Alli gets injured in this match. They fall behind 1-0. They come back, great equalizer from a great winner from Harry Winks, and the player who put in the cross, I can't even remember. I think he's a youth player who Pochettino had to, or former youth player who's come through their system, who Pochettino had to dress and then had to throw on after Dele got injured and provided the winner. So there is. And this is why I think Pochettino is so attractive to Manchester United and to Real Madrid. There is a spirit and a sense of purpose within that squad. There are drop-offs when they don't have certain players, but there just seems to be always a resourcefulness. We always hear about how Spurs aren't very deep, right, Chris? But there's this resourcefulness of getting guys to give performances who you wouldn't expect it from. Winks is a guy who just continues to get better. You see these players come off the bench and do a job. Musa Sissoko has been very good this season. I mean, he was a bust the previous few years, but when Pochettino really needed him, because Dembele kept getting hurt and Wanyama is never really recovered from his injuries, Sissoko has raised his level. He's been one of the better midfielders in the league. So that was my game of the week. Coming up this week, I have a similar pick to yours. It's Barnet and Brentford, which is going to be a Monday night FA Cup match,
right.
The final match of the round. Barnet, improbably gets to this stage, just like Accrington Stanley, who you mentioned, and Brentford. It's a bit of a local derby, West London derby. Not that that much of a distance between the two clubs. Now, I will be landing at Heathrow just after this match, so this would be a match I would have actually gone to. And Brentford is actually the closest club to Heathrow, and Barnet is not that much further. So, but I'm looking forward to this one. I'm going to be on an airplane, but I will keep tabs on it. And get a sense of what happens in that match.
And from personal experience too, watching Brentford play in the Championship this season, they're a really attacking, fun team to watch. So that's one I'm going to be watching too for sure. That'll be an interesting match. Absolutely, Kartik. Before we move on to TV streaming news, any love for the Bundesliga?
Yeah, Derek Ray on the call of Leipzig and Dortmund, which was a very big game and was on live here in India, and it was a critical win for Dortmund. They stay 6 points ahead of Bayern. This was one of the biggest tests because they had to go to Leipzig, and Derek Ray is just so smooth in his calls. I mean, I just you sometimes forget, and we've seen a lot of him in the studio for NBC, right, this year, particularly on Mondays. You sometimes forget how good he is and how effortless it sounds, and the other thing I'll point out is pronunciations. I take my cues from him. If you hear player pronunciations in certain ways, and then you hear Derek Ray pronounce it differently, go with Derek Ray's pronunciation. There were a couple of examples in this match. I don't want to get into it, but there were two or three examples of player pronunciations I've heard differently from different announcers, different commentators, and then heard Derek Ray in this Dortmund-Leipzig match say it in the way that I think must be the proper way, because he always gets it right. So a real treat to listen to him on this call. And the Bundesliga is back, of course.
Yeah, and to me, he's a scholar of the game in many ways, and definitely we're lucky to have him over here. You mean commentating a lot of the games too for NBC and other broadcasters. All right, Kartik, let's move on to TV streaming news, and I'll have you kick it off.
Yeah, FIFA, UEFA, the Asian Federation, the Premier League, La Liga, and the Bundesliga this week have issued a joint statement condemning BeOutQ, and this is the statement: collectively, we as rights holders in various football competitions condemn the pirate entity BeOutQ, which continues to abuse the operations of rights holders and legitimate broadcasters through its persistent and illegal screening of events for which it has made no effort to secure the rights. This is also, I think, on the eve of Qatar having the World Cup. Chris, this is pretty important because this is a political thing between Qatar and Saudi Arabia, and I think it's really important for FIFA and the Asian Confederation to get this solved as soon as possible. And also, those leagues that have legitimately sold their rights and are being undercut.
It'll be interesting to see how this plays out, Kartik, because you have, I mean, the biggest leagues and the biggest federations and I mean, the world's body, FIFA, condemning the BeOutQ and saying, okay, enough is enough. And as we spoke last week, too, there's been others that have condemned BeOutQ. So all eyes are on Saudi Arabia and on BeOutQ to see exactly what happens next. And hopefully there'll be a resolution soon, and hopefully BeOutQ will be out of business, because it doesn't help anyone, and it's a bad look for Saudi Arabia. Next up, Kartik, BeIN Sports. This is news that actually World Soccer Talk broke on Friday morning, and it was a story I was holding on to for about a week. I had the news, but we were waiting on one more signature on the contract before I could go ahead and announce it. I didn't want to announce it until the contract was signed, and that is that BeIN Sports had acquired the rights to the Copa Libertadores, Copa Sudamericana, and the Recopa Sudamericana. And this is a four-year deal. It's a huge deal for BeIN Sports, especially in the United States, because it's a statement of intent. In the past 6 months, there's been a lot of talk about whether BeIN Sports would still be in business. This is a big coup. This is something that Fox Deportes had the rights to. Fox Sports had the English language rights to it, but didn't do anything with it. And we saw, too, with the River Boca final, all the soap opera, all the drama, everything that had been going on, even the kind of the semifinals. I think Gremio was in it. Some really entertaining matches, and it culminated in a fantastic final, two-legged final on the pitch, and that's where it matters the most. The passion of the fans are great. You mean kind of the story about this fantastic competition is wonderful, but on the pitch is what matters, and it lived up to its promise. Now, beIN Sports has the rights, the English language rights, and the Spanish language rights, which is a big deal. So they've already started broadcasting this week. They had a couple of games on Wednesday and a game on Tuesday. And they're doing some of the games in English and some of the games in Spanish. But over the 41 weeks of this competition, this goes through from January all the way through to November, every game will be either televised or available or streamed through beIN Sports. And this is big news. Also today, on this day that we're recording this podcast, on Thursday, beIN Sports has announced globally that they have acquired the rights to Copa Libertadores, and actually Copa Libertadores also in Canada, Australia, New Zealand, 24 territories in the Middle East and North Africa. So this is a huge global deal, and it's a great opportunity for beIN Sports to kind of really share the love of Copa Libertadores, and for us viewers and people that may have not watched Copa Libertadores and Copa Sudamericana as much as we would have liked to in the past, now we have no excuse. Now we have access to these great competitions. Kartik, what's your take on this?
So, Chris, this is the first time we've seen in a while where beIN's been able to leverage its international footprint, its global footprint, already having held the rights in the Middle East and North Africa for CONMEBOL competitions, to actually leverage those relationships to get properties in the U.S. and Canada, and I assume in Australia and New Zealand is also. I'm not sure what their history is as far as acquisitions there, but I think this is a very big deal for beIN. This shows they're going to continue to be a player. They're going to continue to serve the soccer market in spite of being ejected or thrown off of cable systems. And I think also it makes it very difficult for soccer fans in the U.S. to say, okay, beIN isn't on my cable system. I'm not going to subscribe to Fubo or Sling. I can just skip beIN completely. Copa Libertadores is another layer. It's another, I would say it's like along with La Liga, it's a co-biggest property, big acquisition for beIN in the U.S. This keeps them in the game. Not only keeps them in the game, this strengthens their hand. Huge news from my perspective.
Yeah, so it's funny too, Kartik, because you mentioned that too in terms of people saying like, okay, now at this point they can't really ignore beIN Sports or not complain about not having beIN Sports. But when I broke the story on Friday, I lost count of the number of people that are like, okay, this is good news, but I don't have beIN Sports and nobody else has beIN Sports. The reality is that there's, approximately about 10 million people in the U.S. that have beIN Sports through their TV provider, either satellite or cable. And then out of all the channels that are available out there, beIN Sports is probably the most accessible one through streaming services. So whether it's Sling, whether it's Fubo and other streaming services out there. So I wrote a story. I said, okay, it's time to take action. I published it on worldsoccertalk.com. It's time to take action. If you're if you want beIN Sports and you're a DirecTV or a Comcast subscriber, now is the time to really call them and just complain. Voice your complaints and say, hey, enough's enough. You know what I mean, it's time to go ahead and figure out a deal with beIN Sports so we can get these channels back on these networks. So that's my hope, is what people will do. I mean, if you're a listener and you do subscribe to Comcast or DirecTV, go ahead and call them. Voice your complaints and say, hey, enough's enough. I pay a lot of good money to get to all these channels I get, but for whatever reason, you guys don't have beIN Sports. You guys didn't renew the deal. It was the same deal as last time. They're not asking for any more money. Go ahead and give me beIN Sports so I can get Copa Libertadores and all these other competitions, La Liga, Liga, and etc. But hopefully this will be a turning point, really, for beIN Sports, because really, this is a big deal. This is a big deal, especially among Latin American soccer fans who know the history and know the teams that are involved in this competition, how much of a difference this makes. And hopefully this can make a difference in terms of getting back on DirecTV especially. One more update, Kartik, before I hand it back over to you, and that's International Champions Cup. I mentioned last week that one of my sources had mentioned that it looks like it's going back to ESPN this summer. Looks like ESPN renewed the deal with Relevant Sports. And the information I got this week, too, I haven't been able to determine whether it's actually finalized, but it looks very probable that it'll be 12 games across the ESPN networks that are going to be televised this summer. Something to look forward to, but I'll keep on working on that story to get all the details. And Kartik, back to you, and for some good news about Asia.
Yeah, in another story we reported on World Soccer Talk this week, DAZN has acquired the Asian Cup rights, starting with the quarterfinals, quarterfinal round, which is today as we record. You might listen to this after the first set of games. But big news in the U.S. I've enjoyed this tournament. I was around this tournament when I was in Dubai and UAE last week, and have been watching it in India. And it's been an exciting tournament. Maybe the football hasn't been at the level of the Euros or a Copa America tournament, but it's still been, I think, a lot of fun, and I'm glad the U.S. audience will get to see it. Importantly, Chris, this is another soccer property for DAZN, and DAZN it hasn't had quite the big bang that a lot of people anticipated when they launched in the U.S., but they're slowly acquiring things, and they're going to be a player for rights. And by the way, they offer a 7-day free trial if anyone wants to check it out.
Actually, it's 30 days.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, which is even better. You mean 30 days, which in the article about DAZN acquiring the rights, I said, hey, you can subscribe to DAZN for that free trial and be able to watch all of the Asian Cup, all the way through to the semifinals, the final, and beyond that too. Yeah, on the soccer side, it'll be interesting to see what's the next rights that they try to pick up. We know that they have the J-League so far. And I believe they have the AFC Champions League, and now they have the Asian Cup. But where next? We've talked about on this podcast a couple of times that the Bundesliga would be a fantastic property for them to pick up. On television, doesn't do so well in terms of the ratings, but this could be a big hit for DAZN on the streaming services when those rights do expire in the next year or two. So this is one that I'm sure we'll be talking about DAZN quite a bit over the coming weeks and months of this podcast.
Let me point out something real quickly on that, on the Fox rights with the Bundesliga. The reason we have so much Bundesliga coverage in India is because the channels that show soccer, that show the Premier League also, are owned by 21st Century Fox. Now, they are part of this ESPN deal that's pending, that's going to get approved sooner or later. So whether or not the Bundesliga sees the value in renewing the global deal with Fox when they have less channels remains to be seen. It's something that, Chris, I had not thought about till I came to India and realized the reason why we have so much Bundesliga on here compared to other leagues is because the channels that show sports here that are not premium channels are all owned by Fox. So that's a significant thing to look at, because the Indian market will be off the table. I'm assuming there are channels like these channels that are going to Disney also in other markets that Fox is showing the Bundesliga. So perhaps the Bundesliga is wide open in 2 years.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons that I think in many ways for a lot of our listeners and a lot of our fans of the Bundesliga, that we've been disappointed with the coverage from Fox Sports in the United States. Not the talent. I mean, the talent, whether it's Stu Holden or Ian Joy or, I mean, Jovan Karoski, Kay Abdo. There's a lot of people that love that league that really... I don't know, Keith Costigan, that really research it and love it. And you sense that enthusiasm and passion for the league. It's more so in terms of the commitment that Fox has made, where the schedule is very kind of random. It's very kind of, they're not treating it like a big property. And the challenge is that, as being part of a global deal, this was not a deal that Fox went out to for the United States to say, okay, we're focused on the US. We want this league. It was more of a league that was acquired globally by Fox and kind of handed to the US Fox Sports and said, okay, US Fox Sports, go ahead and figure out a way to actually program this and get this on the airwaves. You mean it's kind of it's you mean it's more reactive than proactive, and so we'll have to wait and see in the next year or two what happens with the rights and if they do stay with Fox or if they go elsewhere to DAZN or someplace else. Now, Kartik, we mentioned on this podcast before, but John Champion will be commentating his very final game in the Premier League in actually next week. It's going to be the Newcastle United Manchester City game, which is going to be midweek. It's a game that's going to be on NBC Sports Gold. So it's not going to be on television because I think Man United play Burnley that day. So we will not get a chance to watch it on television. So if you have NBC Sports Gold, I recommend tuning in to watch that match, the Newcastle Man City game, and listen to his commentary. What I don't know yet, I'll find out in the next 24 hours, is which game he's going to be commentating on or which games he's going to be commentating on this weekend in the Premier League and whether or not we'll be able to get to listen to his commentary on those games, because oftentimes it's a big match and oftentimes Arlo White will do the commentary for the match instead. So basically just more of a heads up. I mean, John Champion is coming to the United States. He's going to be working for ESPN full time. He's going to be commentating Major League Soccer games and I'm sure ICC games. It is an open invitation that he might be going back to the Premier League if the timing is good and if he has an opportunity to do some more games. That's a possibility. It's not a definite. So we know for sure that John Champion's last game is going to be next week for the Premier League productions worldwide. And we're going to miss him. But so keep an eye out on worldsoccertalk.com for the commentator schedule this weekend to see if you get a chance to listen to him one more time if you don't have NBC Sports Gold for next week.
Yeah, Fulham Spurs, by the way, was the last match he called with Jim Beglin as his co-commentator.
Yeah.
That was a game I saw here in India. That I'm not sure if you got the two of them in the U.S. Or if you got Arlo White.
Arlo.
That was a real treat.
Yeah, that was the thing, too, because like John Champion, if you follow him on Twitter, he's very active. He's very informative. It's an interesting, definitely, Twitter account. And he had posted some pictures. I guess he bought a book of football grounds and gave it to Jim Beglin as a present and signed it or kind of autographed it. Because they've been working together for years and years and years, and said, "Okay, hey, this is my final game commentating together with Jim Beglin." And he posted the pictures on Twitter, and I'm like, "Oh man, if only we had a chance to listen to his commentary with Jim Beglin on that last Sunday, but we did not, unfortunately." And Kartik, last but not least, in the news segment, I'm not sure if you had a chance to look at this, but if you click on the link, it's pretty interesting. This came to us from one of our followers on Twitter. I can't remember which account it was, but it's kind of interesting. What is it, and what's your take on it?
Yeah, so La Liga is looking to optimize scheduling via artificial intelligence. I have to tell you, this thing is fascinating. So since I saw the tweet, I've been just, my head's been spinning with this graphic, which we'll look at all these different variables, 27 different variables, the idea of TV audience from the past, attendances, et cetera, and make the schedule accordingly. Now, this seems like a very logical thing to do, but it's also something that has never been done using AI, basically. You know, it's been just based on assumptions or personal preferences or whatever, or other considerations. So I think this is pretty fascinating.
Yeah, so it's based on 27 different variables to figure out the best time, the most optimal time to go ahead and schedule matches on a La Liga weekend. It's supposed to be implemented beginning in February, next month. It has a 5% margin of error, and it's based on attendances from the last 15 years, as well as TV data from the last 4 years in terms of, you know, which matches had the most viewers from the past 4 years or least viewers. And then also the 6 data scientists working on this project for La Liga. It'll be interesting to see what the results are, Kartik, to see if there's much of a change. If it might be one of those things where they come back and say, well, based on what we see here, the timing of the games is good, which I like the timing of La Liga games. It's one after another after another. It's in a long procession throughout the entire weekend. But they might change up some of the timing of the games. Maybe instead of Real Madrid playing, you mean at 2:45 Eastern time on a Saturday, maybe they bump it up to the 12:15 kickoff Eastern time or whatever it may be. But I like this, Kartik, and I think La Liga's definitely forward thinkers. They're very cutting edge, very innovative, and here's another example of that. So we'll have to wait and see what happens in February to see how that adapts the schedule, maybe ever so slightly. TV ratings, we've got a bunch. Again, we'll list all of them on worldsoccertalk.com in the next 24 to 48 hours on the homepage. The big number that came out from this past week was Arsenal against Chelsea on NBC on Saturday, the 12:30 kickoff Eastern Time. 1.28 million, Kartik. That's a huge number for two big teams, but that's definitely good news there for NBC. Some of the other matches, the U.S. women's national team had their friendly against France on FS1 on Saturday from 2:30 to 4:30 Eastern Time. 214,000 people watched that one. And Hoffenheim against Bayern Munich. The Bundesliga is back, Kartik. We finally got a game where we got to get a number because it's over 100,000. Usually, if the number's less than 100,000, it's too low for us to actually be able to obtain that number. But Hoffenheim against Bayern Munich, 110,000 people tuned in on this one on FS1 on Friday from 2:30 to 4:30 Eastern.
Because I was out of the country, I'd love our listeners to tweet at me or put in our listener mailbag for next week and tell us how Fox handled that U.S. France match, given that it was a very one-sided match, given that it was a footballing technical display based on the clips I saw from France, and the U.S. was way off the pace. I'd love to hear how Fox handled that, given they're going to be covering the Women's World Cup this summer, and there is a possibility that the U.S. could face France again in the quarterfinals or semifinals, and the same thing could happen. So just curious how they handled that,
Or maybe even the final. It could be a great final. Yeah. All right, listener mailbag. First one up is Gary Genosa, and he says, what is going on with beIN Sports? No more extra at 7 p.m. Tuesday through Thursday, only on Monday and Friday before the locker room. Are things that bad at beIN? So this was sent in before the news was announced that Copa Libertadores rights had been acquired. What I know from my sources is that the studio that beIN Sports uses in West Miami is actually shared. So it's shared with a company called Imagina. Actually, I think Imagina owns the studio. So beIN Sports shares that studio with them. From what I understand is that the big, huge spaceship studio that they've used in the past several years, that looks like it's from outer space, that has been broken down. So that's no longer beIN used. And instead, they're sharing back and forth. I guess Imagina's using the studio more and more. And beIN Sports is still using the studio, but only portions of it. So part of it's scheduling, trying to figure out when beIN Sports can use it and when Imagina needs it. But we'll have to wait and see if this Copa Libertadores, if that changes things in terms of maybe them getting more of the studio back. But for the time being, it looks like it's going to stay that way, where there's going to be no more extras, the show called The Extra, from Tuesday through Thursday. And also, actually, with Copa Libertadores, you've got games on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday anyway. So that fills in that prime time slot where The Extra would have been on in the first place. But interesting question, Gary, and hope you appreciate the response there. Next up is Amber, DFW girl. She posted this on Twitter and said to us, Kartik, it seems you should have a weekly segment called Let's Bash Arlo White. Last few podcasts, you and Kartik love to bash Arlo. I enjoy Arlo's commentary as much as I enjoy Martin Tyler, John Champion, or Peter Drury. And let me say, Kartik, on this one is that I think listeners, Amber included, but listeners should not basically kind of correlate criticism with bashing. So oftentimes you and I, we're always kind of very frank. We will call it the way we see it. We have nothing against Arlo White in terms of a person. He seems like a really nice guy. I think he would be better as a presenter. His skill set is much better in that role. My personal taste for a commentator is not somebody who reads out stats after stats after stats and talks too much. That's not my style. I prefer someone like John Champion or someone like Derek Ray or someone like Martin Tyler that's a little bit, lets the game flow a little bit better. There's pauses in the game, there's silence in the game. So again, it's I mean, it's not, we're not bashing all of white. It's just that we're sharing our honest criticisms, or we're just communicating. So please don't take this personally. And I think all of white actually on Twitter got offended by this and gave a couple of digs at us. And I responded and just said the same thing, is that it's nothing personal. It's just basically that Arlo has a very different style, and it's not what we're used to.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it is what we're used to a certain extent in American sports commentary, and I'm kind of two minds about this. I mean, I my personal preference, he doesn't fit. He talks too much for me, reads too many stats, et cetera, all the things you said. But I have to admit that I think there's a certain educational value Arlo White gives to American fans who tend to be newer to the sport than fans from the UK or fans from other parts of the world. So I think that's an important element of what he does. And as a presenter, I think he's very, very good. The pitch side desks, he's always good with. Yeah. So, I don't feel like I'm bashing him. I just prefer the commentary style of someone like John Champion or Derek Ray or Keith Costigan's become a favorite of mine now, calling Bundesliga matches on Fox. I think there is a value in what Arlo White does. It's just not my personal preference.
But that's a good point, though, Kartik, too, because you mentioned that in some ways that Arlo really kind of simplifies things a little bit, gives the backstory for the first minute of a broadcast and says, hey, here's what's happening. You mean Arsenal, you mean kind of going through a tough spell of time, and Chelsea, a lot of question marks about the manager and, you mean, the playing style, etc., blah, blah, blah. And in some ways, that is helpful for the mainstream. That is helpful for the new viewer to a game that doesn't know the backstory, is not following it day after day after day like we are. Having said that, though, Kartik, it makes you wonder, at what point do they say, you know, okay, I think we're at a stage now, we're comfortable, where most of these viewers probably know the backstory. Now let's switch it. Let's kind of have our commentary be at the same level as our analysis in the studio, where it is more high level. It is a little bit highbrow sometimes, but that switch hasn't happened. And maybe it's a style thing from Arlo, that's just his style. Or maybe it's top down from NBC, where they've said, like, hey, this is going to be an NBC over the air. Let's try not to make it too football nerdy. Let's try to make it more mainstream. That I don't know. That would be a good question for Pierre Moussa next time we talk to him at NBC. All right, David Schley says he's got a long feedback, but it's a really good some feedback here, Kartik. He says, for my fellow La Liga lovers who lost beIN, about a month ago, World Soccer Talk posted that Sling TV is now incorporating beIN Sports Connect into their platforms. I had just noticed it myself, as I was now able to access the other beIN Connect channels and La Liga TV via my Apple TV Sling account. I have always had the option of accessing these channels via the Connect app on my iPad or PC, but as most of you know, the Connect app was very unreliable. So I was thrilled about Sling doing this. It's been about 2 months now, and I couldn't be more satisfied with La Liga TV. For someone who hails La Liga as the best league in the world, it's been very refreshing to have reliable access to La Liga content in America. When there's no live programming, it shows a lot of the weekly league shows, but every day at 10 o'clock Eastern time is Viva La Liga, which is a live show with Semra Hunter from California, hosting alongside various pundits from around the world and in studio talents with the likes of Graham Hunter, Guillaume Balaguer, Sid Lowe, Duncan McMath, and the list goes on. If you know anything about La Liga, you know that these are the who's who of Spanish football. Viva La Liga is also on before at halftime and after the matches. Oh, I forgot to mention that La Liga TV also broadcasts every match. Now I do love Ray Hudson from beIN, and I always will be true to him. But when he's not on the call, I switch over to La Liga TV and listen to commentators like Simon Hanley, who do a far better job and are more knowledgeable than other beIN Sports USA broadcasters. The real-time translations of post-match interviews, something that beIN doesn't usually do, is great. And sometimes you get the pleasure of having Guillaume Balaguer alongside the commentator analyzing the game. That's like a two-hour insider look, history lesson, and transfer news show, all while watching a match. Again, if you know Guillaume, then you know how connected, knowledgeable, and accurate his information is. For all those La Liga lovers who lost BeIN on DirecTV or for some other reason, I highly recommend getting Sling TV for $10 a month and start watching La Liga TV. If La Liga is serious about growing in the States, they need to find a network in 2020 that will air Viva La Liga during match days like NBC Sports and FS1 do. I have been a faithful customer of BeIN for years, but in order for La Liga to grow in the US, it's imperative it be picked up by a bigger network. Best from one happy La Liga fan. And David, what an incredible email that is. That's fantastic. That's great to hear. I've watched bits and pieces of La Liga TV, and I was impressed. I was like, holy cow, this is really good content. And it's hidden away on the BeIN Sports app. And for those listeners, which there's many of them, who have given up on BeIN Sports Connect, for me, I go through Fubo. And now I can also go through Sling and access it directly from within those apps without having to go to the beinsportsconnect.tv website and go through all those hoops and hurdles just to be able to watch it. But through Fubo, it's great. And great feedback, David. That's really helpful, especially for fans of La Liga. And like you said, Guillaume is one of the best in the world. And the other people, too, fantastic talent. And that's great to hear. At the same time, though, Kartik, I mean, to me, this is what NBC Sports Gold could be. I mean, they have access to all of this great Premier League content, all this new shows. I think the Premier League productions, I think they have a 24-hour news channel.
It's 24-hour news channel, right.
And yeah.
NBC only shows some of the things, and quite frankly, they're showing it at odd times, and sometimes it's not available on demand. It's kind of clunky. Mm-hmm. One of the attractions of NBC Sports Gold for me, one of the reasons I've signed up for both years, it's been offered, has been those bumper programs. They don't quite carry what they should. This is an amazing email, actually, or an amazing mailbag thing. I when I get back to the States, I think I'm going to add that. On Sling, or get Sling and get that package. It sounds incredible.
Yeah. I highly recommend it, definitely. That's great feedback there from David. Thank you. All right, guys, you can always reach us via email through web at worldsoccertalk.com, as well as facebook.com/worldsoccertalk, and on Twitter at worldsoccertalk. Plus, of course, you can always post your comments on worldsoccertalk.com. So if you, like David, have some great tips, some great hints in terms of what's going on, if you have some news tips from within the industry that, hey, Chris and Kartik, how come you're not talking about XYZ? If you have questions about BeIN Sports Connect or Sling TV or Fubo or PlayStation View or ESPN Plus, etc., or even the TV networks too, let us know. We'd love to read those out on air. We are here to help you and also to hear your feedback and to hear your rants and raves. And for the most part, I think everything that you guys send in, we go ahead and read out. So thank you again for your feedback. We really appreciate it. Kartik, so what's your schedule looking like in India? Do you have any R&R planned, or is it busy moving?
Yeah, it's busy moving, getting things. I mean, we have shippers coming to the house the next few days to box things up and then ship them to the U.S. for us, and then fly out to London and maybe a day or two of R&R there. Well, not really R&R, because London is not an R&R place, but a vacation, legitimate vacation, and maybe catch a football match. As I said, I would have liked to have gone to the Barnet-Brentford match, but when I booked the flight, we didn't know when the FA Cup, I mean, who knew Barnet was going to get this far, and who knew that was going to be the Monday match, but and then back in the States a week from there.
And what about your flights, though? So which airlines are you taking, and how long are the flights from Chennai to London?
So I'm taking British Airways. Chennai to Heathrow is 11 hours and 50 minutes. It's a horribly long flight. Then a couple of days in London, the flight back London Fort Lauderdale is almost 10 hours. So going this way is always worse. When you leave the U.S. and you go to London, it's only 7.5 or 8 hours, because the way the world turns, the way the Earth rotates, and then London Chennai is about 10 hours. So you pick up an hour or two, or you lose an hour or two going the other way.
So if they want to follow your travels, Kartik, or read your opinions about politics or soccer, where can they find you on Twitter?
KKFLA 737. Again, if anyone has any insight into how Fox did with France, USA, be anxious to hear about it.
Yeah, me too, definitely. And you can reach me through Twitter at World Soccer Talk. So thank you everyone for listening. You can get a new episode of the World Soccer Talk podcast every Thursday. Every episode is released on SoundCloud, YouTube, Stitcher, iTunes, TuneIn, Audioboom, and worldsoccertalk.com. If you like the show, share it with your friends on social media and give us a review on iTunes. We'd greatly appreciate it. In Kartik, kind of a globetrotter, going around the world watching football matches, and what should they do?
Enjoy your football.